every little shiny thing. You're the North Star and the compass, always finding something wondrous. Anywhere you go, you're not alone. In a little evening sky, how bright you are. And cradle of the circle, all the ones who came before you, all the strength is yours now. You're not alone. Sparrows in the morning, crows at dusk, singing with your dad.
That was Our Native Daughter.
You're Not Alone. Our Native Daughters comprises four wonderfully talented musicians, female musicians, Alison Russell, Rhiannon Giddens, Layla McCullough, and Amethyst Kea. Alison Russell has played, along with Our Native Daughters, she's played with a number of outfits, Hot Girl and Birds of Chicago, to name some. She's been involved in so many different projects that it's hard to actually keep track. But Alison has gone solo recently and put out two wonderful albums. She's going to be touring Australia in April. She's playing in Sydney on the 17th of April, and she's playing at Blues Fest between the 19th and the 19th and 20th. I've got Alison. I'm chatting to Alison now. Hello, Alison.
Hello, it's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so much for coming on air. So you're coming to Australia. You've been here before.
Yes, it was so wonderful. 2 years ago, we got to come to the Blues Fest for the first time, and we opened shows for Jason Isbell in Melbourne and Sydney, and had just a wonderful, wonderful time in Australia. We're so thrilled that we get to come back. We feel so lucky to get to come
Yeah,
back.
and you'll be doing Blues Fest. I think this is going to be the last Blues Fest, unfortunately.
That's what I heard. It's the end of an era, isn't it?
It is the end of an era. Yes, I played You're Not Alone. So I wish I could keep you from sorrow and harm. None of us is here too long, but you're not alone. That's kind of a theme that goes through a lot of your music, isn't it?
And well, I think that's the human condition, it's as much as we want to be able to protect our young from everything. We're not able to, and of course we're mortal. None of us is coming out of this alive or without experiencing hardship and trauma. But that is part of what I would truly believe, that very hardship, that reality of our mortality is the mother of compassion, is the mother of empathy, and helps us grow a beloved community when we choose to be.
One of the tracks from your most recent album, The Returno Requiem. Go on, my child. Hope is a prairie fire. Set your embers on the summer wind. The same sort of theme, isn't it? You've played with Poggle and also Birds of Chicago. Just tell us a bit about each of those before we talk about your albums. Poggle, you lined up with Trish Klein, among others, from Good Be Tanya.
The Biga Tanya, that was my first baby band. When I grew up in Montreal and left home very young, and I fled across the country when I was 17 years old, and I wound up in Vancouver, which is as far west as you can go before falling into the
You were
Pacific.
escaping a bad family situation in Montreal.
And then not so much the city, but my adoptive father was very abusive, and I was safer running than staying. It was really a sort of a run or die situation back then. And I was very lucky though to find myself in an incredibly welcoming, artistic kind of folk revival of a community that I landed in Vancouver, and I met Trish Klein and the Biga Tanyas there, and started coming out of the closet as a musician and a songwriter. And Pogro was my first baby band. Trish Klein and I founded the band together. Ana Teixeira joined us shortly thereafter. We had different alumni, Diona Davies and Shelly O'Keppnack, and different people came in and out. But Anna and Trish and I toured for a number of years, and then Anna and I continued it on all the way through 2012, was when we did our last Po Girl shows. But that was really the beginning of what I now would call the Rainbow Coalition of the artists that I am in circle with, that I cross-pollinate and collaborate with, and we work on each other's projects. And that was really the beginnings of it, was Po Girl.
You collaborated with your husband, J.T. Nero.
That is an ongoing collaboration. We've now been in partnership for 18 years. We've been married for 11 years. We have an 11-year-old girl, and who's our
And you live
greatest
in
collaboration,
Nashville.
of course. Yeah, we live in Nashville for the last 8 years, and it really continues to be, although Birds of Chicago is on an indefinite hiatus since my solo career took off. The solo career is solo in name only, because it is, an entire, as I say, rainbow coalition, including my partner, J.T. Nero, who is one of my favorite writers on the planet. We co-write very frequently. So we're in very, very close, not just life, but creative partnership.
Our Native Daughters, is that still a going concern? And
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Annie Gilmuth and
There's.
Anna Kia and Layla McCall, wonderful musicians.
Yes, they are all brilliant. And in fact, my beautiful sisters, Rhiannon and Amethyst, just came to see me in Hadestown a couple of nights ago here in New York. So we had a lovely reunion. Layla was on the road, so we didn't get to see Layla. But We are plotting our next show. We do one a year. The last one was at Carnegie Hall, so it's going to be good and it's going to be big.
You're not alone. You've also re-recorded with Brandi Carlile.
Yes, and that was I'm very grateful to her for doing that with me, and we've been using proceeds from that recording to raise money for reproductive rights in the US and for the fight against gun violence and carnage in this country.
That's a big fight to take on.
Yeah, well, we all do our little parts, and it takes millions and billions of us doing the next best thing that we can do, and the next making whatever choices we can make to reduce harm a little bit, and all of it matters and all of it makes a difference, I think.
Now, moving on to your solo career, which you indicate's not all that solo because you've got the Rainbow Collective. Your debut album was Outside Child. And that's been described as harrowing truths and joyful noise. There's pain and there's beauty in that album, isn't there? And it's a very
Yeah.
honest album.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a definitely, it was a reckoning. It was a reckoning and a reconciling of my past. Broadly, I would say the Outside Child, the first solo album, was a reckoning with the past. It was about the journey out of trauma and into community through the medium and the magic and the alchemy of art and music and chosen family and community. And I would say broadly, the returner is the present and celebrating and growing that rainbow coalition and those circles and growing into my own agency and power and acceptance of myself and my own history and moving forward and what I can do now, given that history, to be of use in reducing harm for others.
The terrible time you had. I'm going to play one of the tracks off that album, Persephone. And of course, she's the Greek goddess who was t abducted by Hades, but came back like a sort of rebirth, which I take it to be kind of metaphor for you. You sing in that, my petals are bruised, but I'm still a flower. So it's proud and defiant.
Yes, absolutely.
Persephone.
Killed me that time. Oh, if I let him, he's slow and he's drunk, and he lost his grip on me. Now I'm running down La Rue Saint-Paul, trying to get out from the weight of it all. Can't flag a cop, cause I know he won't stop. I go see Persephone. Tap, tap, tapping on your window screen. Gotta let me in, Persephone. I know where to go, but I had to get away from here. My petals are bruised, and I'm still a flower. Come running to you in the violet hour. Put your skinny arms around. Tomorrow.
light on your cheek, light telling me it's time to leave. The birds are calling to morning, your parents' feet above us stir. Kiss your belly before I go, climb back out of your basement window, back to the cold spot, back to the hard light, back to the harsh bright street.
Your next album, the most recent one, the second album, The Returner 2023, you recorded...
The Rainbow Coalition. Yeah, yeah, it was joyful. We did it in 6 days. We recorded at the old A&M Studios, which is now called Henson Studios. It's owned by Jim Henson's company and family. But it was the old A&M Studios. It began its life as Charlie Chaplin's studio back in the day, and then A&M Records bought it. So that is where Joni recorded all of her records. It is where they recorded the We Are the World collaboration. There's so many wonderful, wonderful records have been made in those hallowed halls, and they recorded all of the tracks essentially live, the bed of them, you know, the way the studio is so beautiful where you can, there's everything is glass, you can see each other and you can have open doors to have as much bleed or as little bleed as you want. And we just got really creative. We really recorded it in the round.
You've said you didn't want it to be perfectionist, that there's artists like Nina Simone and the Staple Singers who were happy to lay down tracks, maybe with some imperfections, but they were the better for it.
Exactly, exactly. It wasn't about perfection. It was about capturing that spirit of communion when it coalesces and it feels alive and it feels living. A recording is by its nature an archive, of course, of a moment. And I know how I feel when I hear something where you can still hear the life of it. You can feel it. You can feel the sincerity of it. And that's what we wanted. We weren't after perfection. We were after the feeling, you know, knowing when we were in that slipstream together. And it was a really, really, really joyful process, and I'll cherish it as long as I live.
Now, you mentioned Joni Mitchell. She's a big idol of yours, isn't she? Can you tell us about your mother playing for free and the kind of end of it?
I got a black limousine and two gentlemen escorting.
Yes, so my earliest musical memory, I mean, my mom is, she's also from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where Joni is from. And my earliest musical memory was, you know, we had very troubled time. My mom was a baby when she had me, and I was in foster care for many years before she married the abusive man who adopted and me and was abusive to me. But in that period when I was in foster care, I would get visitation with my mom, and I would go, we would meet at my grandma's house. And my grandma had a beautiful upright piano. And my mom is a gorgeous pianist, and she would play Joni Mitchell albums and she would play along to them. And I remember hiding under the piano and listening to her play along.
Nobody stopped to hear him, though he played so sweet. Music by.
for Free, which is a deeper cut from the Ladies of the Canyon record, came on. And I'll never forget, at the end of that song, there's this clarinet coda. It's a song about, you know, Joni walking by a busker who's this man playing the clarinet for Free, and everyone's ignoring it because, you know, he's not famous and he's not on TV, but she feels the power and the beauty of his music, and it's this meditative moment. And at the end of the song, there's this gorgeous clarinet coda, and I can feel in my body what it felt like to hear the clarinet for the first time, right? I was like electrified by that sound, you know, I just loved it instantly. And I've asked my mom about it, and she says I could not have been more than 2.5 or 3 years old at that time. So that is such a core musical memory. And then for it to come full circle, and I'm now part of Joni Jam Band. My beautiful sister, Brandy Carlisle, invited me into that magic circle at Newport the first time, and Joni has asked me back ever since because she likes the sound of my clarinet.
That's one of the reasons you took up the clarinet among the many instruments you play. You play in Persephone, you play the clarinet too, don't you?
I do, yeah.
It's said that these two, your first two albums, Outside Child and The Returner, are part of a trilogy.
Yes.
So what comes next? Just tell us about the trilogy.
Outside Child, Past, The Returner, Present. The next installment in that trilogy will be, in a way, Future. But that is a longer... The next album that I'm putting out is not the third installment in the trilogy.
Okay.
It's a side plot line, basically, the next one. And there's a reason for it, which is that in order to do the third album, I need to make a return to the land of my ancestors. And it's gonna require larger planning and more time. But it will, I suspect the third installment of that trilogy will probably come more along the lines of 2027 is my guess. Australia will be the first country and place to get to hear some of the songs from the upcoming record that's dropping later this year. And I'm really, really excited about it. Yeah,
it'll be really terrific.
Your personal philosophy is really about how we are all interconnected. And this runs through your music.
Our human species, we are not animals that were born well-equipped for the environments that we are in. We don't have claws, we don't have teeth, we don't have wings, we don't have fur. What we have is the ability to use our imaginations collaboratively and to care for each other and to imagine better futures. That is the only way we've ever survived or made progress. There is a denial of the basic intrinsic fact that we are mortal creatures on the one living planet that we know of in the entire universe. And we will not survive without her. And we are pushing ourselves, not just our species, but life on this planet to a brink right now. And I believe we can come out of the tailspin, but it requires us to understand that we have a shared destiny on the planet and that we are completely interconnected. And that if harm happens to some of us, that harm gets reflected and repeats back upon all of us. It simply does.
Alison, it's been wonderful talking to you. I'm going to finish our interview with a track from the Returner album, Requiem. Would you like to introduce it?
Yeah, you know, it is a song of hope, but it is hope born of very, very deep sorrow. And it is a reflection on the number of our young people we are losing to violence, gun violence in this country, genocidal, horrific violence across the globe. And that it's a song of hope in that I believe we can draw in the circles of harm reduction, that we can do better. We can do better for our young ones. And that's what Requiem is. It's a song of mourning, but also a celebration of the brilliant, imaginative power of our young generations. And we need to support them and protect them.
Hudson Russell, thank you so much. This is Requiem.